Well, hey everybody, welcome. Happy Sunday morning. So glad that you are joining us on Labor Day weekend, whether you're here in the room with us or you're joining us online from some glamorous location. We are thrilled to continue our series with you called Because I Said So. And if you missed Kendall's initial talk last week, I'd highly encourage you to go check it out. It'll really be the springboard that helps us talk about what it means to be present as not just parents, but if you're not a parent, maybe you're a caregiver for some kids. Maybe for you, you're involved in some other key relationships in your life where you could wield authority if you let yourself rather than influence and relationship. And so I'd encourage you to go find that at ehills.org if you missed it. The other thing that we introduced last week that you can find at ehills.org/weekend is something that we've called Growth Trek. And Growth Trek is really designed as a tool here at Eastern Hills to help you answer the question, how do I grow spiritually? And it'll give you the map to help you see what are your next steps in this spiritual journey of finding and following Jesus here at Eastern Hills. And whether you're at the trailhead, you're trying to just figure out how to get started, or maybe somewhere along the way you feel like you're at the switchbacks and you're doing a lot more work than you feel like you're making progress, but you are making progress. Or maybe for you, you find yourself in the wilderness and somewhere over the last year and a half, you decided to coast spiritually, or you feel like maybe you've taken some steps back or your faith has just hit the back burner. We'd love to help you identify those environments here at Eastern Hills that would help you to connect with where you are spiritually and to keep moving forward. So if that sounds interesting to you and you're here with us on campus, you can find a QR code for it and a big picture of it in our lobby in the highlight area just outside the auditorium. If you're joining us online or in the room, you can go to ehills.org/weekend and click on Growth Trek. Just want to make sure you know that's there. You're going to keep hearing about it, and hopefully it will be helpful for you to be able to identify where you are spiritually and take a next step. Before we get started, I'm going to pray for us. And if you've never been here before or never heard me speak, I pray kneeling. And the reason that I do that is because we are all in different circumstances. Some of you are grandparents. Some of you are single. Some of you are single parents. Some of you have little kids. And being able to identify where all of us are in those moments and what we need to hear, that comes from God, not me. And God tells us that he speaks to us most clearly when we humble ourselves most deeply. So wherever you are, even if you're online with us, would you pray with me? God, thank you. Thank you so much that you do promise to give us wisdom if we'll ask for it. And so right now, God, we ask for wisdom. We recognize that no matter our season or situation, we don't know everything we need to. We don't know what's coming around the corner, but you do. Would you help us to see it? Would you help us to depend on you for it? Would you help us to grow through it? It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we talked about this series, and maybe you've even noticed on the wall behind me at times, you've seen a picture of somebody with a megaphone, right? Because whether we want to admit it or not, lots of us have different areas of authority in our life. And if we're not careful, what we can do is we can sort of default to this place of formal authority, where we've talked about it maybe, we've tried to rationalize with a team member, an employee, a friend, a neighbor, certainly a child. And at some point, it just feels like they're not listening, right? And so you turn on the megaphone and you just think, I'm just trying to be louder. I'm just trying to be clearer. But every time we pick one of these up, every time we start talking through them, it doesn't help the person hear us. It actually shuts the conversation down. As a matter of fact, what I think we're going to discover today is that we often let distractions create distance, and eventually we power up because of it. For some of you with teenagers, you actually don't feel like you've even seen your child's face in a while. You just see the top of their head as they're looking at a screen. And whether you wanna be honest or not, like they probably feel the same way about you. You just have more elaborate reasons for it. Yours is a work email. Yours is something you need to tackle, right? But yours is also Facebook. Yours is also Candy Crush, right? Distractions, they have this ability to create in us bitterness and resentment and frustration, where all of a sudden our goals about parenting shift, and the distraction can create in us a lack of patience for others. The problem is this, and I'm sure you've heard about it, there's been a huge uptick in the last several years around a problem called identity theft, where somebody will get a hold of who you are and they'll take that and they'll start kind of functioning as you in the world. And here's, I have a little secret for you parents. You may not know this, but your kids will, if they're not already, commit identity theft against you. Here's what I mean. We all have things that we want to tell our kids and we want them to listen to what we say. They will hear what you say, but they will replicate who you are. They will actually follow your example, the good parts of it, and especially the bad parts of it. They are going to follow your model. A few years ago, when one of our oldest boys was in the car behind me in a car seat, somebody cut me off. And as they cut me off, I jammed on the brake, and just behind me, I heard, "What the?" And I thought, like, I wonder who taught him that. Probably his mom, you know? And I never told him to say that. Like, he had just heard that. You know, the thing is, there are times in our life, even recently, where in the midst of stress and pressure, like, I need this. I'm not perfect at this. We all have moments, right? All of a sudden, school's back in session, and, you know, ministry and life is starting to look a little bit more full again, and we all have commitments and expectations and pressures, and all of that's piling on, and when somebody thinks they're more important than somebody else, and somebody doesn't feel hurt, all of a sudden, the very same responses to a conflict in our home that I might give in a moment of stress or pressure, I see my 11-year-old give, or I see my 9-year-old give. And while I might want to be frustrated at them, really who I should be frustrated with is me. Who you should be looking at the mirror for of why your team members, your coworkers, your colleagues, your classmates, your neighbors, when they respond very, very poorly in relationship with you, you should look at the mirror and see if maybe they're responding in the way you would. Now, there's another piece of advice that I just want to help you with that I'm not good at. Someone mentioned this week and I think is really helpful. When someone is really frustrated and we go, I don't want to have to default to the because I said so. I really want this to be, let's slow down so that I can listen because I really will listen. I want to know. And the way we do that is that when someone leads with emotion, you meet emotion with emotion. And someone leads with logic, then you meet it with logic. But I don't know about you, I'm like a pretty driven, logical person. And so when someone comes at me with something emotionally and I feel like I can solve it logically, don't they want the problem solved? You know, like, I don't understand. They don't, actually. That's the thing. And so what does it look like to meet people where they are? If it's emotion, meet it with emotion. If it's logic, meet it with logic. But don't overpower their feelings with your facts, because in the moment, well, you might be so interested in them getting it right, they really want you to know that they're not all right. And those two things can't always coexist. Now, last week, Kendall talked about how important it is that we're present with people in our lives, especially our families. As a part of our initiative this year, we talked about a couple weeks ago that we're gonna be God-centered and family first in this once-in-a-lifetime reset that we're experiencing. Because the pull towards performing and pretending that we're perfect, and that's all it ever is just pretending. It's gotten stronger and stronger. And if we leave it unchecked, it will put a pressure on us, our relationships, and our families that we were never designed to bear. And those relationships will crumble under the weight of it. Over the next few weeks, we're gonna talk about how we do that, how we show up as present. And today, we're gonna focus on truly listening to the people in our lives rather than just waiting for our turn to speak. And as I've already alluded to, I think there's a really important principle here that listening unites us, it unites our families, it unites relationships, and distraction divides us. Isn't that what we've all been experiencing? That as we've carved one another up and we've gotten more and more distractions in our life in more and more ways, we've just found ourselves more and more divided. So we're gonna look at a few questions coming from a story in the life and ministry of Jesus. And the first one of those is, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? This is a really important question because I think most of the time for us, the answer is kind of nothing. Especially if you're older and you feel like you can kind of control your time and control your money. But I don't know if you have a memory of this. One of the last times that I think it still kind of happens is when you're at the airport and your flight gets delayed or your flight gets changed. And especially if you're in a city you're not familiar with and you don't have friends there. And now all of a sudden you're just kind of like stuck some random place in America, and you have nowhere to go and nothing to do. And you feel like, okay, what am I supposed to do now? Now I want you to think about that and go back with me for a moment, because not too long ago, there was a moment in human history where that same thing would happen, but you didn't have a smartphone to distract you, to rebook your flight, to be able to crush a bunch of candy, to be able to watch whatever thing you wanted to on any streaming service ever. You had to just sit there. You had to wait. You know, the thing is now, like, we work pretty hard to not have to wait ever, anywhere. I don't know if this is you, but we live in this funny place where when we order Amazon Prime packages and they come in 3 days rather than two? Like, we're mad about it. I don't know if you've ever done this. I did it this week. I filtered my searches through what could come as a free one-day shipping item. Stop judging me. It's okay. You're like, I didn't know you could do that. You can do it. It's on the left side. We moved here from Seattle, and when we were in Seattle, there was Prime Now, which is amazing. You can get your stuff in as little as an hour. And here's what you thought. When you got something in an hour that you needed, here's what you thought. I promise you. You thought, I wonder how I can get this in 30 minutes. That's how we're conditioned for it. We are not designed to wait in our culture, but there is something healthy about slowing down. Jesus shows us this in relationships. We're joining Jesus and some of his disciples as they kind of join in this really important moment in Jesus' ministry, where his popularity is basically right at its peak. The following chapter is what's referred to as the triumphal entry of Jerusalem, and it kicks off the week in which Jesus would eventually be killed. As a matter of fact, the same people who will be cheering his arrival will be shouting for his crucifixion in a matter of days. And Jesus had just corrected some of his disciples, some of his closest friends, for trying to lock in their kingdom position with Jesus without realizing the cost that Jesus would still have to pay and the true nature of this kingdom. They thought that it was about political power when in fact it was something so much greater. See, the true nature of his kingdom, it wasn't trying to overthrow Rome, it was trying to overthrow sin. The fact that humanity had messed up to the point where it was irreparable. We could never get back to God on our own, individually or collectively. And so God, out of his love, sent his only son to live a perfect life on our behalf, to die in our place and to come back from the grave. So that because of that act of love towards you and me, that his kingdom, his eternal kingdom, could be revealed and that you might be invited into it. And so asking for their seat at the table, he didn't think they understood what he meant. And then this moment in Mark chapter 10, we get to step into this moment of his ministry, and it says this, and they came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. So as they're walking on their journey and sort of moving forward in ministry, they're walking through Jericho in a huge crowd of people. They've actually formed a caravan at this point of people who have heard about Jesus' ministry, of people who have seen Jesus heal people. And in the crowd, there was this